Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkward.
Social podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. I'm about to go on with my buddy Alfred Robles, who is a comedian who I've met pretty early on. He tours the world with Gabriel Iglesias himself and has been part of that crew for as long as I've known him, possibly longer. This is a man who knows what the rest of the world looks like, and I'm a person who just realized that there's a second city outside of Pacoima. So our backgrounds could not be different enough in comedy. However, we have a lot of parallels in our personal lives as far as the steps we took to get to this point in comedy. You know, the aspirations that we both had, the goals that we both had in mind. And it's always fun because I always felt sort of on an island when it came to I used to do once upon a time security for Sears undercover. I would wear regular clothes, which is always amusing because I was the guy that used to get followed. Now I'm the guy that would follow. And it was always a delight. You know, I mean, I always felt guilty when we had to stop somebody who looked like they were having just a real tough time. But it was a real experience because, as I mentioned in a previous episode, I thought I was going to go into law enforcement, just like Alfred did. And these were the steps that we took to sort of prepare ourselves for it. And then from there, our lives got us to where we are today. So I'm just waiting on him to hop on. Should be soon via Zoom. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon because I still don't trust the cooties of the world. But everything's kind of starting to open up, and at some point we will have to reintegrate ourselves in doing podcasts in person. That's fine. I'm ready to go when that is. I just hope that by that point, nobody gets me sick. I feel a little under the weather right now, but I don't think it's related to that. I mean, it could be. I honestly don't know. I don't think I got the COVID. None of the real symptoms about it other than just kind of the stuffiness that I'm feeling right now and the overall fatigue, but that could just be sleep deprivation because I get that from time to time. Let's see how this goes. There you are. Can you hear me, buddy?
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, there you are. Perfect.
What's up, brother?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I've been good, dog. I've been good, man. I gained a little bit of weight, but I've been good, bro.
I mean, who hasn't? I've definitely gained weight. I've been eating better, but just more, a lot more lately. And so much soda, so much Coca-Cola. I should be sponsored.
I feel the same way with White Claws, bro.
Oh my, I haven't fucked with the White Claw yet. I got the joke of it, essentially being the modern day Smirnoff. But is it any good?
I like it. Uh-huh. But it's one of those things where people talk shit if you drink it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, it's a girly drink. But the thing is, it has more alcohol than regular beer.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that. I mean, I don't fuck with beer. I only do hard liquor. And that's not like I'm a cool guy kind of thing. It's just because I really don't like the taste of beer. It takes me a while to find something that I'm okay with. It just doesn't quite work for me.
Then you'll like White Claw then, because it doesn't taste nothing like beer.
Oh, okay, I'll give it a shot. I don't want to be a guy that's like sitting there drinking his whiskey neat and being like, you know what, I hold off on that tonight. I'm gonna have a White Claw. I don't want to do that. But I'll do it, like I'll sneak it out of when I go to Yvonne's next time. I'll just like buy a case and drink it at home when no one's looking.
They're refreshing, bro. Like in a hot day, bro. Just chilling outside, bro. They're good.
That's good. Yeah, I'll try that. So is the lemonade, but I will fuck with it. Oh my goodness. There's a cameo from the cat. I thought you were rubbing some kind of giant coat in front of the camera right now.
No, bro. I just got another one too, bro.
Oh goodness. Oh man. So how many is that? Is that two altogether?
Yeah, I have a little kitten now, bro.
Oh man, how's that going?
they're not getting along. I have my kitten locked up right now in the room.
Okay. I was going to say, how old's this one right now? About 5 years old?
10.
10? Has it really been 10 years? Wait, hold on. You didn't have a cat for 10 years, right?
No. I rescued it 5 years ago, but when I rescued her, I took her to the vet, and supposedly she was 5 already.
Oh, okay, yeah. Your cat looks like a 10-year-old. Okay, so what's happening right now, those of you that you can't see this, but Alfred and I are recording via Zoom, and his cat just walked in front of the camera with not only long hair, but like unusually long, like lion's mane fur around the face and around the butt, apparently, because that's what I'm staring at right now. This podcast,
my little Maine Coon, bro.
Yeah, dude, it's all. And now she's sitting in front of the camera. That is so hilarious. Is she pressing on the keyboard?
No. Keyboard's the other way.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, you're on the iPad.
The iPad. I learned to put the keyboard the other way because, man.
Yeah.
She's crazy, bro.
Yeah, it's actually. Do you mind if I take a screenshot of this real quick since you
said
the way?
Yeah, bro.
Because this is pretty great. I'll post this on the Instagram. It's so funny that she's doing that. It's a she, right?
Yeah, it's a she. Both of them. The other kitties are she too.
Yeah. So, the first cat, the older cat, she was 5 years old when I got the kitten. And
Hold on, Jose. I don't want to cut you off, but before you tell this story,
all right,
you jinxed me, bro, and I'll tell you after this.
Okay, do you want to tell me about the jinxing first, or you want me to do it after?
No. Tell me. I'll tell you after the story.
Okay, so Reese, the older cat, was 5 years old, very loving, very much like, oh, this is my domain. I own everything here, and she will, on any given moment, not stop fussing until I give her all of my attention and love for hours on end. And then we got a kitten, and then the kitten was she's a little dummy. She's sweet, but she's literally a little dummy. But the older cat hated her so much that for the first months would kind of growl at her, hiss, but never like attack, just like a very cranky old cat being like, ugh, get out of here. Would walk away. Right. And then whenever we took the kitten to the vet, like to get fixed or to just do a checkup, anything like that, the cat would be strutting around. Reese would be strutting around like, oh, this is mine again. And for the first 5 years, anytime Coco left the house for more than 20 minutes, it would be like starting from the beginning again, just back to hating her and hiding from her every single time. And now they're 15 and 10, and they're just now kind of starting to get along.
Wow. It's hard, huh? It's hard. I think it's hard when you bring them up later.
Yeah.
I mean, she's 10 now, and then my kitty, the new kitty that I have, is like 3 months.
Yeah, it's about the same age that we got Coco.
You know what I mean? And it's hard, dude. The first day I brought her in, bro, she was hissing at her. I had her in a little carrier, so she couldn't do anything. But she went at the carrier and started hissing at her. I put the cat in the other room, and it took her one day till she started eating again. My first cat.
Yeah.
She didn't want to eat, bro.
Yeah, they do that. They're very stubborn. They protest that she's like, I'm not going to eat that fucking chow mix until you fucking get rid of that other animal.
Yeah. Okay, so let me go back to when you jinxed me, bro.
Okay, go for it.
So, I did your podcast like in 2013, 2014 at your house.
Yeah.
You remember?
I do.
Okay. Do you still live there?
No.
Okay. But you remember that house, right?
Yeah. I just moved out of there in February.
Okay. So you had your cats.
Uh-huh.
And then I was still not – I wasn't a cat guy right there.
Yeah.
I wasn't a cat guy. I was like, ah, this motherfucker has a cat, bro, you know. And I wasn't hating on you having a cat, but to me, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, you know. I'll never have a cat. Mm-hmm. I was that type of dude, bro.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, I don't know if you remember. Well, you remember. I don't know if you remember me telling you. You had a restroom in your room.
Yes.
And I told you, bro, that's fucking weird, bro. How? What about when you want to get with your girl and this and that? And then you said, oh, you block it off and fucking this or something you told me. Do you remember this?
Kind of. Are you talking about like closing the bathroom door? Are you talking about like if people want to come through?
No. As far as you getting horny and shit, I go, that'd be a turnoff for me. I won't get hard and fucking this and that. And then you told me, no, you just block it off, bro.
I suppose so. Yeah. I mean, it sounds familiar.
Okay. So, fucking fast forward to right now, bro, there's a fucking restroom in my fucking room, bro. And I have fucking two cats now.
So you're copying me. As...
yeah, bro.
Isn't it easier?
I'm still not down with it, bro.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're not talking about getting freaky. You're talking about when you get gassy, like when your girl's right there.
Yeah. The only cool thing is I have two restrooms. I don't know if you had two restrooms at the other house.
No, I just have the one.
Okay, so I have another restroom. But I always remembered, bro, I always remember that restroom being there. And then that restroom in my master bedroom doesn't have a door, dog. So my toilet's right there. So if I'm laying in bed, you can see the toilet.
Did you remove the door, or it just never had one?
No, it never came with the door.
Okay, so mine had a door. It had one of those sliding ones. It doesn't lock.
I'm getting a tour right now, bro.
All right, so Alfred's lifting up the iPad. He's gonna give me a tour of his restroom. All right, so let's go. Let's take a look here. All right, so he's showing me. All right, so he's going into his bedroom.
That's my bed.
It's not made, of course.
It's not made. Hell no. Let me turn on the light.
All right, let's do this. Oh, that's a straight shot. Okay, that's a little concerning because is the opening very, very narrow? Like, is it like if you were a wide dude, you wouldn't be able to walk through it right away?
Like, no, you can't. You have to do it sideways.
Sideways. Okay, that's. I mean, that's even worse than mine because mine at least had kind of one of those doors that glides into place. It didn't lock, but at least you could do that. Yours is like you're taking a shit, you look up, and you can make eye contact with your girl in bed. Like, that is
weird.
That's weird, but at the same time, I think so long as you use the one in the hallway, you'll be good. That's for emergencies. That's the toilet you use when you have no other choice.
Yes.
Okay.
And I always remembered you, bro, because of your apartment in San Fernando.
Yeah, I mean, that does happen. It would be weird, like, if somebody were to spend the night. I don't think anybody ever really spent the night there. I mean, like, stayed super late to sober up, yeah, but, like, not, like, you know, come into the room while I'm asleep to use the restroom kind of thing. But it was something along those lines. I wouldn't be able to do what you're doing right now, but I find that amusing because before you hopped on, I was doing the setup for the episode and I was talking about the fact that that you and I had very similar backgrounds as far as, like, we both did security for Sears at one point or another. You and I both were looking into law enforcement, you know, and we both got disqualified.
Yes.
So it's always amusing to me that those kinds of things. By the way, I remember you having, like, not necessarily an issue with me having cats, but I remember it being such a big deal to you. You didn't really say, like, hey, bro, that's kind of weird. You were just like, so you got cats, huh? I'm like, yeah, I do. It's like, oh, that you got cats? I'm like, cool. I think I get what you're trying to say. But now that you have them, you got to admit, cats are kind of dope.
Cats are the best, bro. You know what it was? I think I was more scared of cats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes they not my cats, but sometimes cats, they go crazy.
Yeah, they could scratch you and bite you.
They scratch you. Yes. No. So that was my only concern. But I think it's one of those things, bro, when someone says, I'm not a cat person, mm-hmm. it's because they never had a cat. And a cat will change your life, bro.
And there's also those people who have had a cat, but it was either A, not their cat, like a relative's cat, or just a cat that was an asshole. And it happens. People have pets. Cats can be, there's some that could be terrible and not meant to be pets. I mean, some that are 100% not domesticated very well. So Reese, the older cat, is actually from the one and only litter that my older cat had. So she's second generation, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And her mom was a stray, you know, that I rescued as a kitten, who did not get used to being inside. She got used to me. She would be very affectionate with me. Like, she would be possessive of me, which is where I think Reese got her from. But she hated everyone else. She was, she like, I think she like clawed the shit out of my sister and bit her leg. She bit bit my girl's nose. Like, she was not having it. She was like, no, fuck that. He's the only human I trust. And then, right. so I get it. Like, if it wasn't for, everybody's like, I hate your cat, but I was the only one who was like, I love this cat because she's so nice to me. No one else, but to me. So that's good enough for me.
Bro, you know what else I do? Because you did it at your house, bro. You get your cat and you shoot her like a shotgun, fool.
Yeah. That shit's fun.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't hurt them, but it looks funny.
Yeah. I started doing that because of you. That you told me that when I went to your pet, I remember you did that. You go, hey, fool, check this out.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, shit, that's fucking cool. And when I got my cat, that's the first thing I tried doing. Hey, Jose showed me something.
You know what? I'm glad that it's not like abuse, like, but I would hate it if your cat hated it. And then they're like, what are you doing to your cat? They're like, hey, Jose showed me. I'm like, why are you throwing me under the bus? I'm like, oh my gosh.
So my other kitten that I rescued, I just rescued my other kitten on Saturday, bro.
Oh, that's so, reason. Is that a COVID cat? Like, was it one of those like, oh, I'm home more, so I'm gonna get myself a second cat?
No, we were at dinner in Bakersfield.
Uh-huh.
And one of my homie's wife was talking to me about her daughter's going to college and that they don't like cats, and the daughter had a kitten.
Uh-huh.
And the daughter couldn't take the cat, and she told me that she was gonna take the cat to a shelter. And I was like, don't do that. I'll take it. You know?
No. Uh-huh.
But I was a little bit tipsy when I said that. And then when I woke up and I go, oh shit, I gotta go rescue a cat now, bro.
That's so funny. That'd be great if you don't remember saying that and then waking up the next day with a kitten. You're like, where did you come from?
Hey, so have you ever heard of a black Bengal cat?
Yes.
You have?
I have only because I've never seen one, but I've heard of a black one that was supposed to be like a cross between a domesticated cat or something like that. Am I thinking of the right one?
I don't know, because they told me it was a Bengal, and I don't know.
I'll
show you a picture.
Sure, show me a picture. But I think that's gonna be more for the vet, because I'm always changing what my cat is based off of a photo, because it could be many different things. I have my aunt had a cat that was half wild cat, so it had like a super pointy ears, and they had to get it declawed.
Okay, so this one has the pointy ears.
Okay, so that might be it. Well, we'll see. I'm curious to see. Although that means that that when the kitten gets big, it's gonna punk around your other cat.
Yeah, right. But you know what? My cat's a big cat though.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then also it already has the dots, the spots. Okay. So here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. No, a little more to your left. Oh, I can see it. Yeah. I can't see the ears. Bring it down a little bit. Oh man, those are some pointy ass ears. Your cat, yeah, your cat's definitely mixed with something. You know what your cat looks like? Your cat looks like it's a cross between that and oh, I see the spots. That is,
you see the spots?
Oh my god, your cat is gonna be wild as fuck, dude. Just so you know, okay, you know how you were worried about claws before? I'm not saying you're gonna have to worry about it with this one, but those cats are I think they have like longer than regular cat claws.
Dude, bro, my girlfriend, she works at a Stray Cat Alliance, so she rescues cats.
Uh huh.
So when she saw this cat, right, that's the first thing she knows. She's like, man, her fucking claws are already sharp, and she's a kitten already.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But my girl, she's not convinced that she's part fucking Bengal. She says the only reason is that she has a little bit of white. She says she's never seen a Bengal like with different colors.
I mean, it could be because the Bengal's father, let's just say the mom was the Bengal cat, and the father the father could have been mixed. The father could have been more than one, like one more than one species, which is where it comes from. But I mean, she could be right. I'm not, as much as I love my two cats, I can't call myself an expert on them. If I'm a resologist, I'm a cocoologist. I know my two cats. That's about as much of it. Anything else, I would recommend going to a vet. When you go to the vet, they'll be able to tell you what she is. Have you taken her to the vet?
Oh, they will?
Yeah.
No. I'm going to wait till 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get her acclimated and then.
Yes. And what do I do? Do they, because I remember when I took my first cat, they weren't sure what she was. So I never knew that a vet was able to tell you.
Well, I know that. Okay, so I'll ask my friend because she has a dog that you can do. Like, you know how you do ancestry for yourself? You can do it for pets. Yeah. They have a genealogy thing for pets. So it may not be the vet. It might be through something else. But you can do one of those things where you send it in, and then they can determine what species your cat comes from. Is a descendant of. So that's kind of dope. I'll get what that is and I'll send it to you. But by the way, so this is funny, listeners. Alfred and I, once upon a time, were talking about, once he discovered his love of cats, to do an episode that we were going to, or a podcast called Podcats. Now, Alfred's been on for maybe 20 minutes now, and we've been talking about cats almost this entire time. So we are unofficially doing a Podcats episode just as we talked about, man. That is so funny. Yeah. That was so good. I've since seen so many podcasts come out about people's love for cats. Like, there's some that are out there. One of them is part of the Exactly Right Network that does My Favorite Murder. They're fun to listen to, and it's always so amusing. But every now and then I run across somebody. Oh, my sister. I don't even know if I've told this. I have my youngest sister, who hates cats, who fucking loathed them. I mean, to the point to where she wouldn't come over because she has really, really, really bad allergies. Her eyes would get puffy. It'd be hard for her to see or breathe when she would come over. So she wouldn't really come over.
Now, bro, is there a pill for that?
There is. There is. There it is, right? Yeah, okay. So so she takes that now because one day I get a call from her and she's telling me, she goes, "Can you take care of this cat? I'm really worried about it, about this kitten that there was a stray that hangs out in her neighborhood, and this kitten, very, very frail, was by itself. We think that the cat abandoned it, the mom abandoned it, and it was like, and it was pouring rain, and she was convinced if I don't take this kitten in, it's gonna die, because the kitten was essentially in like flooded grass, freezing and shaking and like weeks old, and she took it in and it was terrified and it had like almost no strength. So and it was a black kitten, and she asked me if I could take care of it because she had to go to work and she was really worried about how it was gonna be. Well, I took care of it. I got it to be more active and to eat more and to be more awake. And my sister was going to take it to a rescue, but she fell in love with this kitten. Not only did she fall in love with it and she started taking the medication so that she doesn't have the reactions, but daily she'll send me videos of the kittens, of the cats now, you know, just daily of like funny things. She bought him a little bow tie. She got him a brother, you know, like adopted another kitten so they can play with each other. And she like, she's made her home into a cat home in like 2 months, and she is all about them. Now she has an actual son. You know, but she, you know, but she makes it seem like now she has three kids. And it's so funny to me that how much, like, when you fall in love with an animal, how quickly you become even if you try not to be, essentially a pet parent.
Hey, bro, I like how you mentioned both cats before the son.
Yeah, it's funnier that way. Every now and then she'll send me photos and videos of the things that the cats are doing. I'm like, cool, how's Vincent? You know, like... Like, where's the child that you created, that you gave life to? She's like, oh, I don't know, he's somewhere in his room. Like, that's always her response, because he is always in his room. He's at that age. He's in the age where he does is play on his fucking iPad and watch movies all day. Like, that is his
right.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's he's almost exactly like me. Let me show you something real quick, Alfred. This is so. My stepdad, he works, when people move out of buildings, they leave behind stuff, and he goes in there and he fixes the place to prepare for the next tenant. So he does a lot of the building stuff, and they always leave behind stuff every now and then. Like, he'll give me like a piece of audio equipment that I'll turn into a guitar center for credit, and I'll do stuff like that. But every now and then he sends me something that's comic bookish, things like that. This is something that he bought that I feel like he was trying to send me a message. So I want, like essentially, I might not be manly enough for him because he gave me this book. Can you read that?
The biggest black book ever.
What's it say at the bottom?
Man's ultimate guide to life and style. Close essential knowledge, women, personal care, and fun. Wow, bro.
Yeah, it's a man's ultimate guide to life and style. Clothes, yeah. Essential knowledge, women, personal fun? Care, fun. Yeah, that's so great.
And style.
Yeah, so it's I haven't gone through it all yet.
And you said he bought it. He didn't find it in one of those buildings.
No, he found it, but he said that he was like, oh, this would be a good book for him to read, and it makes me laugh because I grew up without a dad. I'm lacking machismo. You know, I'm not a. He's not saying this. I love this guy, and I know he respects me. But it's really funny because when you think of a more old school, traditional, Latin person versus essentially what I am now, there is a huge deficit as far as like the amount of emotions you feel and all that stuff, or express rather. And it always makes me laugh because I say this all the time. Like when you listen to like. Maybe not corrida, but like when you listen to certain songs, like it's very emotional, and like you when you watch novelas, the men are crying, the women are strong and angry, kind of thing. So I'm like, you can't be too surprised that you know that men can emote. But it's funny that I got that book, so I'm gonna read through it, and I want to dedicate like an episode or two to it to just see like the because I think it's fucking hilarious that I got this book.
Hey, would you ever have him on the podcast and fucking call him out?
You know what? Nah, because it was. I don't think he meant any disrespect by it. I don't think he realized how amusing it would be to me, because he doesn't. Even though he knows me, he doesn't know me well enough to know that kind of shit makes me laugh. You know what I mean?
You know what's funny, bro? Right now, I'm looking. So right now, we're doing audio and video.
Yeah.
So he wants you. So right now, you said it's not about. It's about kind of like growing up, right?
Yeah.
Be more machismo.
Yes.
So right now, bro, all I'm seeing is a fucking lightsaber, fucking Back to the Future, Star Wars, a Civil War poster, fucking one of the Simpson dolls to my left side.
Yeah.
You have E.T. and Batman over here, and then I don't know what you have. You have Gizmo.
Yeah.
You have three different Spike.
Gremlins.
Yeah. And then you have what else do you have, bro? I get it, dog.
This is my home office. So you can't see this. Hold on. Let me see if I can try to turn it around for you video audio listeners. I apologize if it doesn't quite work for you, but this is the podcast setup that I have right here. And look at
nice, bro.
Yeah, thanks. And these are all the little characters that I have. And I have check this out. So this was originally meant for someone else, but I liked it too much, so I decided to keep it. And
oh shit! All right.
Yeah.
The Gabriel Funko Pop.
I meant to get it as a gift for an in-law, but I was like, you know what? Fuck that! I want this, so I just kept it.
And I'm the same way. In my little office room, I have nothing but toys there too. Nothing but old toys. I have a couple of. I have an E.T. there. I have Freddy Krueger, Jason, a bunch of old stuff too, bro.
Well, yeah. I mean, think of it this way: is like when you look at certain collectibles, there's companies that build toys, custom design them to be, you know, figures to be collectibles, essentially to be modern statues, you know. But
Target carried a lot of them, bro.
Yeah, so there's so think of like the McFarlane line or anything like that. Like they make these characters where it's like while they are designed in a way to be able to pose them, they aren't really necessarily meant for playing. They're meant for decor, display. Yes. Which I like that. And growing up, I used to think like, it meant getting rid of all this stuff. It meant having a place where it feels like you walked into a scene on Mad Men, you know, like just everyone smoking, drinking cigars, smoking cigars and drinking, you know, liquor. And you pictured everyone kind of wearing like a suit or a blazer at the very least. But that's not what growing up is. My understanding of it now is if you work hard or at the very least make an effort to take care of yourself, you're allotted to be able to celebrate yourself in this way and doing things like that and throwing, you know, a few shekels here and there to this kind of stuff. Because honestly, it's a representation of yourself, and you're giving yourself a nice collection, especially if you didn't have that shit growing up. I don't know what your childhood was like, but I'd imagine you would love to have this kind of stuff back then.
Let me I'm taking you to my other room, bro.
All right, cool.
It's turned into a show and tell, bro.
It has. At some point, we're going to be measuring our muscles to show each other who has the most flab.
All right, my room's kind of messy, bro, but here we go.
It's okay. Oh, that is fucking messy. Oh, is that the kitten?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That kitten is going to have the longest fucking claws, dude. Actually, you know what? From this angle, she looks more domesticated. Your girl might be right. I think that photo might be a little misleading, that or this angle, but I'd say give it a couple of weeks and then you'll be able to have a better idea. Cause right now she just looks like very unique. All right. So I see your ET. That's pretty dope. I see your collection of Target bags. That's pretty good.
Hold on.
Yeah. This is, I see some WWE stuff. What is that? Oh, okay.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah. There you go. All right. That's pretty dope. The Rolling Stones for the Spike. Beatles. Yeah. Oh, man. Your room is very similar to mine. I actually have a Texas Chainsaw, but mine is a little cute little plushie, but I was only going to bring it out during the holiday season. I have these Freddy Krueger chopsticks.
Right.
So it's like the scissor thing, but it's the hand, but at the two of the claws are chopsticks. That's pretty dope, dude. I'm actually very envious of what you got going on there right now. So don't tell me where you live, because I said this. I had Kel Mitchell on recently, and and he has his room is like, I mean, it's really dope the setup that he has, and I pretty much told him that I was gonna break in at some point to take all that stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, I don't have that kind of relationship with him. Maybe I shouldn't tell him that I'm going to break into his home. American.
Remember Christmas Story?
Yeah, Christmas Story. You know what, dude? I hate to say this, but I'm probably one of the very few people that doesn't like that movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I see your good guy doll. That's pretty dope.
And see, then Freddy.
Yeah, I like that artwork right there. That's really oh, damn, that is dope. Are you going to bring those out of the box anytime soon, or are you just leaving them out?
No. And I got these at Target, fool.
Yeah. They have some pretty good stuff there. I see your litter box. And now, okay, so are you living with your girl right now?
No.
No? Okay. I was gonna ask if she's moved in yet, because I feel like the way that that office is set up, let me rephrase it, the way it's not set up, it feels like she would walk in. If she lived there, that would all change. Not like she'd make you put it away, but she would make you put shit up. How much time do you have right now? You should make this your project, putting up the decorating your office.
Dude, this little cat's crazy, bro.
I see it. She looks bananas.
What do you think, bro? Look at those ears.
She has some big ears, but you know what? I'm kind of, she does have these lion-like qualities, but I think you're going to have to wait a couple of weeks before you can really tell. But she does look like her claws are going to hurt like a motherfucker.
Right?
Yeah. Let's see. So what do you, okay, so you are, you tour a lot. Obviously, you're not touring right now. How does it feel to be home as long as you've been home?
Bro, this is the longest I've been home since 2009, bro.
Wow.
I'm good right now, but I don't know how I'm gonna be next month.
Yeah,
you know, because like it changes within a month. I feel, you know, in April I was good, May I was good. Now June I'm like getting sad, bro,
because
I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm stress eating, I'm stress drinking, I'm stress everything, bro. You know what I mean?
I do.
I just don't know, bro. I don't know what's gonna happen. And the thing is with Gabriel, we were doing nothing but big venues, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's easier to do comedy clubs, and because comedy clubs are gonna open sooner than venues. as far as arenas and theaters. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So okay, so when the smaller venues open up, is that going to be a good placeholder for you versus the arenas? At least for now, to kind of feel better.
Well, for me, I don't care. But the only thing I'm concerned with is that a bunch of fools that were doing arenas and theaters are going to have to come down to comedy clubs, and they're going to bump the fools that are just trying to make it with the no name guys.
That's true. I've said this before, and I've had a few comics respond differently to me, where I said I haven't really missed comedy. I've been good without it. I have considered just walking away from it altogether. But then at the same time, I was like, I think that's just what I'm feeling right now, because I'm getting used to being at home. But I wrote my first joke in this whole thing like 2 weeks ago. I don't want to do quarantine jokes. When I go back, I might reference it for one joke as a setup kind of thing, but I don't want. But everybody's gonna go back and have the exact same comedy. So I'm like, I don't want to fuck with that. So. And I can't fuck with the Zoom open mics. I can't do that. The Zoom podcast, that's one thing. We're creating this kind of content, you know, and it's long form. It's conversational. I can't do Zoom open mics. I can't do Zoom shows.
I've done two Zoom shows, and I'm doing another one on Sunday. And I like them. I'm not going to say that I love them. And I'm not going to say that once things open up again, I'm going to continue doing Zoom comedy. But for now, it's cool.
It's a good placeholder.
Yes, correct. And I like it because you could listen. You could hear the laughs, bro. You could interact a little bit.
Can you hear the laughs?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, so there's an actual audience that's kind of there.
Yeah, yeah. So you could hear the laughs. So that's the only thing that I really love, bro. You could hear the laughs. Your timing is there.
Yeah. See,
you know what I mean?
I do. It's. I mean, I think maybe because I'm not used to people laughing at my jokes, I don't understand.
You're a funny guy, motherfucker.
No, thanks. No, but I think that it's not even like I'm being stubborn or stuck up, because it's like if people are doing them, good for you. I have no problem with that. But myself, I just feel like I would be. I don't know. It feels out of place for me. And right now,
no, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more comics that don't like it than comics that do like it.
Yeah. And that's good for you, because that means more digital stage time for you. I mean, there's a digital comedy club, you know, called the Nowhere Comedy Club or whatever, that people are where it's essentially somebody set up a Zoom and just gets comics to go up and you know, and do this thing. And I've seen people putting together actual comedy shows in their backyards, that I can't fuck with. I get why you would do it and having the people there. And it's not even just like, I've done shows for, you know, six people. I've done shows for two people, you know, when a show doesn't sell or whatever. But I can't imagine a backyard show right now. I've produced backyard shows, and I something about the energy about it right now just doesn't feel right. It's too much of a gamble. Like, I get it. When Dave Chappelle did it, I'm like, yeah, that makes total fucking sense, because people want to see him. He has something to say that I don't. I can't. If I do it up there, it's a very masturbatory thing. I'm doing it for myself more than I am for anyone else, and it wouldn't feel right.
I agree, bro. I still like Zoom better than backyard shows right now.
Yeah.
Because I agree. I feel like people are more comfortable laughing at their house right now than going to a backyard.
Yeah. Oh, you know what would be really funny? Would be a good thing to do? Do comedy on a chat roulette.
Yeah.
Just hop on chat roulette, and then just like every now and then you're doing jokes to a dude that's just beaten off. I'm like, hecklers. No, it's so weird to me that I mean, that's not weird. It's normal. Everybody's trying to every platform has a Zoom now. Facebook has a Zoom. Instagram has a Zoom. I'm pretty sure Snapchat has a Zoom. I think Twitter might have one soon if it doesn't already. You know, like they all have their own platforms that are trying to compete to try to get this stuff together. So I'm grateful for it. I love it. I love that I can chat with you right now. If I wanted to, I could send this link to other comedians and then they can hop on and we can have a whole conversation. And that's great. I this stuff is necessary, but at the same time, I haven't gotten to the point yet to where I'm having withdrawals, you know? Like I could see that you look like you're drinking your life away. No, I'm just kidding. You look fine, dude. You don't. what if you were just super fucking drunk right now and crying about like, I miss comedy,
dude. I'm telling you, bro. I don't even know. There's a date that I think Gabriel's gonna do, and it's not till October, bro.
That's a ways away. Okay, yeah, I can see that.
We're in June, bro. And our last show was March 11th.
Yeah. That's a while. But, you know, at the same time, it's really weird that we're already in June and that this whole thing started in March, which is not that long ago. But at the same time, this year's moving by kind of quick for me. Like, it's
that's good. The time
is passing by. It's a weird time. I mean, I haven't really been fucking around with talking about COVID on the podcast lately, because at some point I'm like, you know, that everyone's dealing with it at home. We don't need to talk about it here, but it is relevant to what it is that we do or what we're trying to do. So I could only imagine when you go back. Well, where was your last show, by the way?
It was in somewhere in Michigan, bro.
What was it, anywhere out there yet? The COVID stuff? Was anybody worried about it out there at that time?
Yeah.
It's
go ahead. I think we stopped. Our last show was the last professional basketball game and professional everything game, hockey game and stuff like that. So it was already out there.
Yeah. So have you started your OnlyFans yet to get by?
No, bro. No. What's up with that, dude?
That is crazy. That is – so I didn't know what it was when I was – funny. Okay, so I was going to start an OnlyFans, but hear me out. I thought that it was the new, like the paywall Patreon thing for your social media. Like, oh, you want to get exclusive content? It's only available on Patreon. I thought that's what OnlyFans was, and I was calling it Fans Only. I was like, I was looking into it, and you don't have to do that kind of stuff, but it's clearly that's what it's for, kind of thing, and it's crazy. So like I've been hitting up like different guests that I want to have on and scheduling things, and I'm like, is there anything you're going to want to promote for these upcoming episodes? And they're like, almost all of them that are non-comics have been like, well I have an OnlyFans. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's everybody's thing. Everybody is disease away from starting what is it called? Like those private porn channels. What is it called when you do it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like a webcam show or whatever.
So they pay you for pictures. That's what it is. Or for videos.
My understanding is, yeah, people pay to see you. It's meant to be like exclusive content that you can only get there, kind of thing. But it is, from my understanding, I don't think it's like somebody signing up for Tinder. You're signing up because you're hoping to meet somebody or hook up or whatever. If you're only hopping on there to be friends, you're probably doing it wrong. Like that's my understanding. I could be wrong. I wouldn't know either, I swear. But it is funny to me that that's a thing. And I was gonna do an OnlyFans until it got explained to me what OnlyFans was. And I was like, that would be funny if people sign on and it's just me doing like trying to do sexy poses while I play with toys or some shit. Like, no, that's kind of creepy. No, I definitely need that Esquire book on being a man.
Yeah, so I'm happy, bro. Mr. Iglesias Part 2 airs today, bro, on Netflix.
Oh, that is dope. I totally would. Oh man, that's awesome. Are you? Do we get to see a hint of a Mr.
Yes. But my what they did this season was they cut the season into two.
Uh huh.
So there's 12 episodes. So tonight at midnight they're gonna air the first six.
Uh huh.
And then the second six air in August. So my episode, I'm like the episode number 10, I think. It doesn't air till August.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you and you so for until August, just, you know, be patient. And then when August comes around, guys, everybody's gonna be like, oh my God, it's Alfred. Completely, and you sign my knuckles. I don't know, dude. What do they have?
Yeah,
you sign?
Dude.
That's dope, though.
I can't wait, bro. I can't wait for that.
How is being on a sitcom like? What kind of experience was that for you, man?
You know what, bro? I was. How can I say this? How can I put this? When we did the rehearsals and whatnot, I was more nervous than when we actually filmed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So let's just say we filmed on Wednesday, and I was there Friday, Monday, Tuesday. So Friday, Monday, and Tuesday were just rehearsals. And then I filmed on Wednesday, and Wednesday was a piece of cake, bro.
Yeah,
and then Gabriel makes it fun. Gabriel makes it fun, and I've been around Gabriel for a long ass time, so it was cool, bro. It was real cool. All the other actors are super cool, and they welcome you nice, and everybody's super chill and super fucking cool and fun, bro.
That sounds awesome. That I like that. I've been on a set for a sitcom doing background work. Uh-huh. I've done that for shows that never saw the light of day, thankfully, because they were fucking garbage. But so I'm glad that this is out there. I'm glad that you're going to be able to watch it. But even in those shows, like I remember I was on a show on the pilot for a show that didn't see the light of day. It had the actress Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl and a couple of other actors. And they were talking during the production, during the thing. They're like, oh, this will never make it to air. We're doing this for a paycheck. So they were having fun with it. They were having laughs. They were having a good time. And even though you got the sense that everybody was there for a paycheck, it was still such a like an experience where all I could think to myself is like, wow, this is dope. Like I see the allure of being on a sitcom, of being in this environment, you know, for a living. It's fun. The camaraderie is pretty dope. That's awesome. That's going to be on Netflix, Mr. Iglesias. Okay, so yeah. This episode's going to go up tonight. So by the time people listen to this, it's already available on Netflix.
Yeah, they'll be able to watch part two of Mr. Iglesias season. Well, they're not even calling it season two. They're calling it part two.
Yeah.
So Mr. Iglesias part two tonight on Netflix, midnight, starting tonight, bro. You won't see me till August.
Did they split it because of COVID or just because that was always the plan?
No, that was always, it was always planned that way.
Gotcha.
I think it's better like that, bro. You get two pops.
True. And then plus you power through the season. If you watch all of it at once, then you're like, okay, I'm done. But if they force you to wait for the rest of it, that's smart. Yeah. They tried for a while to release an episode a week. I don't think that really works, but doing like a half season now, half season later, that makes more sense. I could dig that.
I think Fuller House was like that as well in the beginning.
It was.
Yeah.
Although I feel bad. I fell off of that. I think once I got all the references, I'm like, I know what they're talking about. I know which episode they're referencing. And then by the end, I was like, I'm good. I appreciate you guys, though.
They're like, I'm gonna go read that book my dad gave me.
Yeah, I'm going to go read Esquire's The Biggest Black Book Ever, A Man's Ultimate Guide to Life and Style. I by the end of it, I want to take a photo, like just I want to rent a really fancy side chair desk kind of thing, and then get like a Hugh Hefner kind of coat, and then have like a pipe, and then just like a smoker's pipe, and then just take like a photo of myself with like a velvety background reading that book, and then just send it to him. Like, I want to do That's all that funny, just for him. Just for him. No one else will see it. And just have him be like, oh, I'm finally reading that book you gave me.
Or where do you still have your old cap and gown? Where your old cap and gown, bro?
Dude, I have my old cap and gown. But it does.
You're a man now.
Two things. One, my cap and gown definitely do not fit. Both my cap and my gown. My head is too big for my cap. My body's way too big for that gown. And also funny enough, I don't know who chose this, but when we graduated in sky blue cap and gown. It was a terrible choice. It was embarrassing to graduate in that. I was like, we could have done red. We could have done a darker blue, but no, we chose this like a baby boy's wall. Somebody looked at it and said, you know what? That's the color we should graduate in. It was not a good look.
I didn't do my cap and gown graduation, bro.
Oh, you didn't? Not enough credits?
No. No, I graduated, but I just didn't want to. I went to a court school.
Well, what does that mean? I don't know what that
is. Court school is – so I went to a regular high school, but I didn't have credits. So after that, after my senior year, I went to a court school. What a court school is
– Oh, it's continuation?
It's worse than a continuation school. A court school, it's where they send every, like, fucking when a kid gets released from the detention center,
uh-huh.
They don't want to put them at a regular high school or a regular continuation school. So gotcha. There's a court school. So the system and the county runs that school.
Oh, wow.
So it was it was in East L.A. The reason why I was there was because a couple of my friends were there and I didn't have enough credits to graduate. And I was talking to my friend and he was all like, bro, you have to get arrested to go to this school. And I go, bro, talk to your teacher, your principal, whatever. And then he talked to him and he goes, hey, he wants to meet you. And I went over there. It was kind of like an interview, bro. I went and I talked to the teacher / principal. And he said, yeah, fill out this application. And I went there for 7 months, bro. And I graduated from there. And the thing is I graduated earlier. I graduated early because I already have credits. So I only did half a semester. And at the end, it was they graduated at, I think it was at the L.A. Convention Center with all the fucking criminals, bro. And I didn't want to do it. I got my diploma and that's it, dog.
That is so funny, dude. I mean, the fact that you chose to go to school with people getting out. I mean, there's nothing wrong. If people are there, they probably want to turn things around and try to get an education. But it would be really funny if you had like a graduation photo of you and like pure cholos all around you and just right? And you're getting capped and gown. See that?
Bro, and it was crazy because they used to pay us, bro, to go to school.
Oh, that's dope.
The state used to pay us because it's all fucking state money, dog. So we were getting paid minimum wage, bro, to go to school.
Oh, that's dope. So did you have a job after that or you just save all that money for a Sega Genesis?
I was spending my money, bro. I didn't save anything. So that was the best thing, bro. That was the best thing is getting paid every other week.
That's dope. I graduated with a cap and gown, but barely. I didn't know I was graduating until about an hour before graduation. I didn't tell my mom that I didn't know if I was going to graduate or not. It was the scary. Mm. It was one of those, like, I was like, I don't want to disappoint my mom, but I got to figure out what the fuck's happening. And I had one teacher that was failing me. Yeah, if you have at least one fail, you can't graduate. They won't let you walk. Like, that was a rule.
No.
So, yeah. And they started this thing. So years before, my school had gotten sued by somebody who didn't know that she wasn't going to walk. So they sued and won. So what happened is she had a grade that she wasn't aware of the fact that she, I guess her grade had dropped and she wasn't aware of that fact. So when it came time to graduate, she wasn't allowed to because her grade did not get to where they needed it to be. It's not that she didn't have enough credits. She just had one failing class. So she didn't get to do the walk. She sued. They won. So they did this thing where it's like they tell you the before your last report card, hey, if you don't get rid of the following failing classes, you're not going to get to walk. So they tell you this like a month or two in advance in order to make sure that they don't get sued again. Like they make a whole big thing about it. Yeah. So they tell me this, and there's one class, and it's science class, and I'm not passing, and I'm trying to do the minimum or the as much as I could to just reach the minimum, extra credit reports, whatever I could do. I take a test, and I pass, and my grade goes from a fail to like a C- or whatever. But the thing is that the teacher didn't submit on time the paperwork. So you have to submit being like, oh, remove him off of this list, he can graduate. And he didn't do that. So when I went to go get my cap and gown, they're like, you're failing one class. And I was like, I am? They're like, yeah, you're failing this class. So I had to run around school because he wasn't in his classroom. And I chased this dude when he was driving off to come and change the paperwork. I was like, dude, I'm failing. Like, I passed your class, but you didn't change the paperwork. They're not letting me graduate. And he was so reluctant. He didn't want to do it. He was like, I'm on my way home. I was like, I'm going to miss my opportunity to graduate because you're not willing to just pull over and help me out. That's all you got to do. So he gets down and we walk up and he's like, oh, you did pass. I didn't realize that. So he signs the thing and then he signs a couple more for me to give. So there was a couple of other students that he did this to. And he just like handed me the thing to give to the people. So I go down and I give my paperwork. 5 minutes later, they hand me my cap and gown. And this was an hour before the actual ceremony. I was fucking terrified. Bro. I couldn't imagine the lifetime of disappointment that I would set up for my mom if I didn't graduate that day.
What high school did you go to, bro?
I went to Kennedy in Granada Hills here in the Valley.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly where it's at, dude.
Yeah, I'm a Valley boy, so everything I did was out here. I went to San Fernando for 5 minutes. My sisters didn't make friends, so we had to move to Kennedy.
Oh, that's cool, man. And that's like kind of like by Winnetka a little bit, right? Maybe?
Yeah, heading in that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
That's cool. Right? You're an East LA boy, right?
Yeah, but I went to high school in Montebello.
Why is that?
My parents, when they got a divorce, my mom wanted us to move to Montebello. So we moved to Montebello for a while, and then we moved back to East LA.
Oh, gotcha. But yeah, you wanted to stay there for that school.
Yeah. I went to high school with my good friend, Jay Hernandez, bro.
Oh, that's dope.
The actor dude?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were high school buddies, bro.
That's guys. Does he come out and watch you perform?
Yeah. He's a cool guy. We still keep in touch, dude.
That's cool.
He's a new fucking Magnum PI, bro.
Oh, that's right. That's a he was in Suicide Squad?
Yeah, he was Diablo.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I am thinking of the right person. That's dope. That's oh man. See, here's the thing. I don't have Magnum PI, I think, is on CBS. And I don't have cable and I don't have the CBS all access. So hopefully he can forgive me for not having watched an episode. I hopefully he'll forgive me for that.
And it was crazy, bro, because he was a pretty boy, bro. He was a pretty boy in high school, and he's a pretty boy now. But he loved to fight, fool. He loved to fight. So, man, we were always getting into fights because of that motherfucker, bro.
That's funny. I could see that. I could when you I could see it because he reminds me of somebody who went to my school that was like that. He was the kind of dude that was like, he had such light skin and light colored eyes that nobody knew he was Hispanic until we talked. Like we had a dude like that in our school, and that motherfucker always would try to get into fights with people. He always tried to fight me, but he could never do it. Not because he wouldn't win. He was bigger than me. He had fucking, he was definitely like built for a fight, but he couldn't do it because I would make fun of him too much. I would be roasting him. Not, I didn't realize that he actually wanted to fight me. So I would always make fun of him. And then one day somebody's like, you know, the only reason he's never kicked your ass is because he thinks you're funny. I was like, really? That's nice. That's nice.
That's funny,
thank
bro.
You.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, he, bunch of girls liked him, dude, and a lot of those girls had boyfriends, and he loved to talk back, and he knew how to fight, so he didn't give a fuck, dude.
Yeah. Do you remind him of that now? Are you ever like, do you remember in high school?
He's all like, you still remember that? And I go, yeah, how can I forget, bro? That's the only time that I got into fights is when I was with you, you motherfucker.
That's so dope. You should hit him up and tell him. I only say this because it's always kind of a goal of mine to be a body on an episode. You know what I mean? Like when you walk and they when they walk into a scene, like what happened here? Well, the victim was he was working on his business, and then looks like a couple men came in here, roughed him up, and one of them pulled the knife on him. And then they take a bunch of pictures of a person on the body or on the floor or whatever. Like you should be the body on the floor sometime. They did that. I used to work customer service in Valencia, and they rented our parking lot to do the show NCIS. And so they had all these extras, and they were dressed like they were in New York or wherever it was, with like heavy, with like raincoats and shit like that, because it was supposed to be during a rainy time. And they had a guy on the floor, and he would sit up every now and then to like have a smoke. And then he would lay back down to like be the body. And I was always like, oh, I want to be that guy someday. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, that'd be so funny to be the body, to be the guy who's just like so bloated and dead or whatever. And I feel like right now with our quarantine weight, we look a little, we look a little bit like, you know, like when I wake, if you took a photo of me while I was asleep right now, you would, and shared it with somebody, they'd be like, oh my God, did they find him in a ravine? Like, what's going on with Jose's body?
I gained 10 pounds, bro.
I can't tell, but I've definitely put on at least 10, 15.
Oh, I could tell, bro.
Oh, damn. Okay, I can see it. I can see it now. I can see it.
Hey, I hide it well, bro.
You do. You do. You're kind of like me. We have when we put on weight, we look sort of like a book that someone wished to life. Like, we're very blocky bodies. Yeah. My homie told me one time, he's like, he hadn't seen me in a long time. And he's like, whoa. I'm like, what? He goes, you got big. I was like, oh. And then he's like, no. He goes, you got like wide. He goes, you look like somebody took you and then stretched you sideways. I'm like, thank you. That's a nice compliment, asshole.
It's fucking crazy. I was at 155, bro, when I graduated high school.
Nice. What was your heaviest?
301.
Holy shit, that is heavy.
Yeah.
I'm at my heaviest right now at 165.
165?
265. Oh my God, no.
No.
Oh.
You hide it well.
Oh, dude, fucking all. It's all in the ass, dude. It's all in the ass.
Yeah.
I'm not even sitting on a chair. It's all ass.
Yeah, bro. When I was in the police academy, I was at 215 maybe, dog.
Yeah, same. See, you made it to the academy. I didn't even get that far. I got disqualified before that.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was prepped, though. I got super in shape for that. Like, for a fat guy to get back in shape, I went from 250 to 220. And from 250 to 220, and then so I replaced a lot of the fat with muscle, and I felt great, and I had this like a lot of energy, and I was going for like I was essentially doing a 10K every day, and it felt great to do all that. And then as soon as they were like, yeah, you're not getting in, you weren't approved, your credit's shit, I was like, all right, and I just fucking pounded a fucking pizza. A large pizza, like, so, like, the thing I denied myself, I just fucking started pouring it all back into my system, and
I feel you, bro.
Dude, it's rough. Like I was saying earlier, Alfred and I both started with we both did security. We both try to be in law enforcement. You talk about that shit on stage, right? I feel like you have.
Yeah.
Going back to Sears, let's do that for a minute. You did the undercover. What was it called again?
Loss prevention.
There you go. I was trying to remember this whole time what it was called. So that was when you see an undercover person or whatever following you. I used to get followed all the time up until I became loss prevention. I felt like I was getting a revenge. You know,
that's
like,
funny, bro.
I still get followed. I have a homie who does loss prevention for Sears. So I have three friends. Two of them I met through my other friend from high school, and the three of them do it together. And all three are ex-military. So they
still do it now.
Yeah, they do it. Still do it now. And one of them is like the boss, and the other two are like he got him in or whatever. So they do it, and then one day I'm at the Target in, I think, Mission Hills, and I'm being followed, and I see someone following me, and I see like an employee there, and he's kind of like eyeing me a little bit, like darting back and forth, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And then I was like, oh, I think I'm being followed. So then I turn around, and the undercover is one of the guys that I know, and he goes, how you doing? I'm like, doing pretty good, man. I'm like, are you following me? He goes, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, do they think I'm suspect? He goes, yeah. He goes, I didn't realize it was you right away. I was like, yeah, man, I get it. I'm like, you know, and then he goes, I have to keep following you though, because I'm not supposed to be friendly. So this dude's following me because they're telling him to follow me. Like, he had no idea. So he couldn't shake my hand. He couldn't talk to me because then it looks like he's being unprofessional. So he's following me around Target, and I'm pretending to like I'm going to pocket shit just so the cameras can catch it. Then I walk out of there all fucking proud. Like, I didn't steal anything, fuckers.
That's funny, bro.
Oh, it's so fun to fuck. When you know them, it's kind of fun. But my homie, almost every time I go to the Target in Granada Hills, he'll shoot me a text and be like, hey man, I'm watching you. And he'll send me a photo of me on the screen. And then he'll be like, fuck around, pretend you're stealing something. And I'll head over to electronics, and then I'll act like I'm shoving something under my shirt or whatever. But then I go to the next aisle, and then I put it back. Like, I keep doing the thing like I'm a thief who had a change of heart.
That's funny. I'm going to tell you a quick, a funny story, dude. I used to do, I was doing loss prevention at Old Navy.
Uh-huh.
And you know Rodrigo Torres?
Yeah.
So Rodrigo Torres is another comic guy. He's a friend of mine. We started comedy. Like, he was like one of my first comedy friends.
Mm-hmm.
So one time he was all like, it was like 2003, maybe 2002. It was like in 2002. It was when the peak coats were in style again.
Okay.
And he goes, bro, I always wanted a peak coat. He tells me, and I go, all right, bro, I'm going to work at the Old Navy. And let's just say fucking and Long Beach. I'm working at the Old Navy in Long Beach, bro. Just go over there and just put it on and walk away, bro. He goes, what about someone else catches me? And I go, dude, I'm the only loss prevention guy there. No one can stop you. The manager can't stop you. No one can stop you. Only loss prevention can stop you. And he was like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, fool. And he was nervous, bro. That fool never stole anything, dog. So he was nervous. So he went on and he puts on a fucking, he puts on the pea coat and he walks away, dog.
Nah.
He walks away. And then at the end of the night, we met up. That motherfucker stole the wrong one, bro. He stole the girl's pea coat. That's how nervous he was.
That's so great. Oh, that is so fucking funny. Yeah, that is so great. Bro. Oh, imagine stealing
the stole
wrong
the coat. Girl's pea coat, bro.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Did they know that that it got stolen?
No. Nah? No, because I did everything, bro. I was talking to the manager when he was there. So we're communicating. Yeah. I took the manager to the other side of the fucking store and fucking shit. So he was perfect, bro.
Oh, gotcha.
But the thing was he tried it on and he said, well, later on, he goes, bro, he goes, I knew it was a girl until the end, bro, because I'm an XL and this is a 2X and it feels kind of snug, bro.
That's fucking hilarious that he shoplifted.
But he was nervous, fool. He was nervous. He thought somebody was going to catch him.
Yeah. That's. First of all, now I'm glad that you didn't get into the law enforcement. Second of all, I never helped somebody shoplift. I have shoplifted. I've admitted to that much. I think I even admitted to that when I applied for the LAPD. Like, have you ever shoplifted? I was like, yes. You know,
that's funny.
And there was a time when did you do loss prevention for Sears as well?
No, I did it for Kmart that was owned by Sears.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so yeah. It might have had the same procedures where if you stole from them, if I came in and stole, and you told me, stop, you're stealing something, and I kept walking, you wouldn't be able to stop me. You wouldn't be able to put your hands on me. If I said I have a weapon, you wouldn't be able to put your hands on me. You'd have to dismiss and disarm immediately because they're not worried enough to be able to endanger somebody's safety. I've seen.
So that changed. What year was that?
This was 2006, 2007.
Yeah. No, when I was there, it was still hands on. So you were able to put your hands on
them. Yeah, no, we couldn't do that. And not only that, but they if someone went in there and stole a lot of stuff and then you try to stop them by putting your hand on them, then they could sue and you would lose your job, even though they were shoplifting. And so they were so worried about getting sued that this shit would happen all the time. So you would have to kind of trick them. You know, you'd have to be like, hey, we saw you stealing. We're going to make it easy on you. Why don't you go ahead and come with us? They say that kind of stuff. And then the person's like, oh, fine. And then they come because they don't know that they can run away. But there was one time, two separate occasions, right when the store opened on Black Friday, some dude walked in. Grabbed a PS3, no, I'm sorry, an Xbox 360 at when they were first available and walked out with it. No one stopped them. Then later that day, when things calmed down, it was me and another person who were the only two watching that during that shift. I think the third person was on lunch or some shit. So I hit the dude up on the walkie and I was like, hey man, there's a guy walking in walking out with the vacuum. So he walked in from one door, picked up the vacuum, and walked out of another door and just left, and then found out afterwards it was the same guy. So he would just do this thing where he would go in, grab something, and exit out another way, because once you get past the point of no return, which is past the registers, you're supposed to have a receipt or you're supposed to have some kind of sticker on your product. But the thing is that if I don't catch you on every single camera, follow you from start to finish from when you steal, you can get away with it. So if I only found you halfway through, if I lose you while I'm trying to follow you, there's no point. You like it?
Yeah, you can't lose observation, and you always have to see selecting of the item.
Exactly.
If you don't see where that person selected the item, you don't know. They probably came in with it. That's probably a return or something like that, you know?
I worry that people that are listening right now are going to be like, oh, these are good things to know. And then they're going to go to the only Sears that's still open and fucking rob the joint. Oh, man. We're teaching a generation of hoodlums. That is for sure.
Okay, bro. They have to know.
They have to know. This is the time when you survive. Are you prepared for the second wave, sir?
No, bro.
No?
No.
Are you stocking up at all, like getting paper towels, toilet paper, just in case?
No, I don't believe it, bro. You think there's going to be a second wave?
I believe for sure there's going to be a second wave.
So you think we're going to be on shutdown again?
I think that what happened is we didn't handle things right the first time, and then we're going to overhandle things the second time. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So I worry that what's going to happen is once they realize, like, oh, shit, there was a second wave, well, you know what? This time we're not going to make the same mistakes we did the first time. It's like when you get caught cheating. And now the second time, they're like, you know what? That's fine, but I'm going to check all your phone calls. I'm going to check all your records. Who are you really filming with? Is it Alfred? Okay. But
dude, I'm going to have to stock up. I'm going to have to stock up, bro.
I would say so. I my plan is to at the very least, have because I have like water, plenty of water bottles, but I also have a filtration system, you know, at home. So it doesn't matter for water. But, you know, paper towels, toilet paper, certain non-perishable things like food in cans kind of shit. It's not like, I don't think it's going to be quite as long term as the first time around, but you never know. I think that there's going to be, I think that if anything, it's like when you deal with an earthquake here, it's, you know, once you deal with it, you're like, oh, okay, so I got to make sure I have, you know, food or power supply or something at the ready in the event that some shit happens. Like, we may not be ready for a zombie apocalypse, but we got to be ready for a power outage.
I feel like if it's going to happen, bro, it has to happen before 4th of July.
Why is that?
Because everybody's going to be partying for 4th of July, bro. And all those numbers are going to spike up again,
though. Dude, it's going to be – I mean, even if they're like, you know what? Today is July 1st. We're going to have to start the quarantine up again. Everyone's going to say, fuck that. I'm going to go to this house party. I'm going to have a good time. The parties are going to happen regardless. I think that the 4th of July, I know that Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day were impacted, which are two big ones, but 4th of July is like the event for America. It's the block party. It's the America's Coachella. It's the one fucking like.
Yeah. And Latinos love 4th of July, bro.
The fireworks, man.
Hey, Latinos can say fuck Trump, fuck this, but 4th of July, they'll be the first people fucking lighting fireworks and fucking waving the American flag, bro. We love 4th of July.
Though. It's, you know what? I have a private, like a rooftop patio here at this new spot. I'll show you after we're done recording, but it's this spot is great for fireworks. We're, you know, in the valley, we're close enough to everything to where we'll be able to see all the fireworks everywhere. While it sounds a little selfish, I'm a little disappointed at the fact that I won't be able to watch fireworks from my rooftop, you know, come July if all this shit happens. I'm sure people will still set off fireworks, but I think I live in a place that's just bougie enough to where it's not going to be our neighbor setting off fireworks. It's good. I'm going to be surrounded by a bunch of sparklers. It's not going to be.
Okay.
It's going to be boring as fuck.
Hey, so if you think the second wave is going to happen, how long you think we'll be in lockdown for? For a month at least or longer?
For sure longer. It's because it's not. I would say that we are, I don't know. Probably, I mean, I'm not a fucking scientist by any means, so I don't know. But I would say that I mean, I've heard conflicting things. I've heard people say, oh, we haven't even been hit by the first wave. This has just been a buildup. And I'm like, oh, that sounds scary as fuck. But at the same time, so you don't know. It could be a total wash. By the end of us, it might be going down and we might be completely off because there's no real way. But scientifically speaking, everybody's saying, like, no, the second wave is coming. We are not prepared for it. We are being careless. One thing I saw was, like, people already complaining, saying that the protests are causing an increase in sicknesses, but the response is back as being like, no, the protests are happening now. If people are getting sick right now, it's because of some shit they did 2 weeks ago before the protests. So this is like people who went out to protest because they needed a fucking haircut. That's getting people sick right now. You know, that's,
or the Memorial Day people partying. And
yeah, exactly.
Like Mother's Day.
Exactly. I am so, my family annoyed me so much by getting together for Mother's Day. They're still every weekend taking photos as a family going out. And I'm being the one person in the who's like, nah, I can't fuck with you guys. I love you, but I do not want to get you guys sick or the other way around.
Have you gotten tested, bro?
Not yet, but I don't spend enough time. I think I might get tested now only because I started finally doing grocery shopping for myself instead of having it delivered. So I might get tested now, but I haven't done it. Have you gotten tested?
I got tested Friday. I'm still waiting for my results. I did the blood and I did the swab. So the blood one is for the antibodies. I don't have the antibody. And then I'm still waiting for my results, for the swab results, to see if I have it now, if I currently have it in.
Gotcha. Well, what makes you think that you might have it? Oh, because you went out to Bakersfield?
No. I just took it because someone asked me if I wanted to do it. And I go, yeah.
And did they do both at the drive-thru one? Did they do both the blood and
no, the... No, they came into my friend's house. And they came into his place and he fucking, he paid for everything.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. I get that.
So I wasn't feeling sick or anything. He just asked it. And I went, I'll take it. You know, why not? I want to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any symptoms or nothing like that.
I have some symptoms, but it could also be because of the fact that, you know, I sleep with the AC on and that leaves me with a sore throat in the morning.
That's how I am too, bro. I love the AC. But once you wake up, dude.
Yeah,
it's over, bro.
It's, you know, every now and then I look at the weather on my phone, like, oh, what's the weather gonna be like today? I'm like, wait, it doesn't fucking matter. I could put the AC on full blast and wear like a 3-piece suit if I wanted to, you know. I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. I didn't have AC for like 5 minutes, not literally 5 minutes, but like for like about a week or so, and that was a rough week. I was so used to being in cool temperatures, and all I could think to myself was like, I would not be able to survive in an apocalypse if I'm complaining this much about the fact that my AC is currently out. You know, I was like, I was too big of a baby for too small of a thing. So I'm like, I won't survive in the hood anymore. Well, I've become too reliant on mimosas and air conditioning.
I feel you. I'm the same way, bro.
I know, with your White Claw. You're fucking right there,
I need
buddy.
My White Claw, bro. I need my White Claw and my Wi-Fi. That's it.
That is essentially like... As long
I need
as
my W's. Things. I need my woman, my White Claw, my Wi-Fi.
Oh, man. That is a... Oh, wow. That is the three W's. I like that. The three
I
W's.
I need my three W's, bro.
All right. I like it. I think that might be... I was going to name the episode A White Claw with Alfred Robles, but I think it might be the three...
The three dubs, bro.
The three dubs with the three dubs with Alfred Robles. I think I might do that one. No, I think I need my fourth W. If I had to add a fourth one, would be whiskey.
Mm.
Yeah. See, that's mine. Okay. See, that's my three would be. Oh, actually, no, because I don't have White Claw. Mine would be still three. Oh, my whiskey, my woman, and my Wi-Fi, and my.
No, four, bro, and our whiskers.
Whiskers, oh my god, dude. All right, fuck it. That's the episode, the four dubs.
The four dubs, bro.
The four dubs with Alfred Robles. That's it right there, dude. I'm going to do that. Hey, so I'm going to have to wrap up the episode. Why don't you go and plug your podcast?
Orale. My podcast is The New Latino Podcast. You can find it in every podcast platform. And it's I usually put up an episode every Tuesday, but the guy that I'm going to interview this week, something happened, so I'm doing it tonight. So I'll release it by tomorrow.
All right, cool.
So there'll be a new episode tomorrow. So it's me and my girl and then a guest.
Okay, that's cool.
I just had Carlos Santos, bro.
Oh, nice. Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Did you guys compare mustaches?
Yeah. Carlos has always been a cool dude, bro. You know?
Yeah. I remember, so I told him this story. I've told him this story before. One time, like, he and I had already worked together. Hung out outside of comedy. And then one day I'm in San Diego doing a show, and this comic, who I don't know her, she was talking about this great guy or whatever. And then I was like, jokingly, and I was like, she goes, I'm like, who's that? She goes, Carlos Santos. I'm like, oh, fuck that guy. She goes, you hate him? I was like, yeah. I'm like, first of all, he's funny. He's good looking. He's smart. I'm like, and he can grow facial hair. I'm like, fuck that guy. And she didn't get that I was joking. She goes, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't know you felt that way about him. I'm like, no, I'm playing. He's a great fucking guy. I just like giving him a hard time because he's a complete package. My co-host, occasional co-host, she responded. She was like, that's the Carlos you're going on about? I need to hang out with you guys more. I was like, damn.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, bro. Hey, you know who kind of resembles him a little bit?
Who's that?
Brian Day, bro.
I don't see it. Maybe like muscles, I guess. I don't see the face.
But not because he has a mustache. But when they were both clean shaven, a little bit, bro.
I can see that. I feel like if you recast, if Brian Day was on a show and he left the show because of a contract agreement, I think that Carlos would be a good replacement for him. I can see that. I can see.
Yeah.
Not the other way around, but I can see it. I can see it.
No. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah,
dude.
Carlos, I remember him when I think we both started at the same time. I remember him from back in the days, bro. He's always been a cool dude, super chill, always talking. He's always been humble, bro. You know?
He's always a nice dude. I gave him a lot of love recently. When his show Hentified came out, I sent him like a text. It's a personal thing, but I gave him a thank you because he was there for me for some real hard times just to chat, you know. So I sent him like a personal thank you, being like, dude, you deserve this, not just because you're talented and you work hard, but because you are a genuinely good person. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that for you. When I met you, you were already touring with Gabriel. So I didn't know you in your humble beginnings. I didn't know any of that stuff. When I met you, you were already there. But it's dope to see that you are, you know, constantly not just traveling, but when you come into town, you've given me opportunities. I got to host your album recording. You know, so so it's always a good time working with you, man. I'm glad
thank you, brother.
I'm glad you're staying safe during this thing and that you got yourself a second cat. So now you're trying to copy my lifestyle. So
I'm gonna let my hair grow now, bro.
Dude, I mean, I think you had long hair, didn't you? Have long hair before?
Yeah, I had long hair, bro.
Okay, this is the time to grow it out. You know what? This is the time. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to grow your hair out. I want you to grow your hair out, and then right before you cut it, grow the goatee out so we can do like a side by side of you and I.
Thing, bro, my goatee comes out white as fuck, bro. All my grays come out of my goatee.
Oh, I know. I don't know if you can see it, but I'm getting the grays in. So I mean, that's cool, man. You're not a young chap anymore. You could show off the hairs a little bit.
I'm loving my stash, bro.
That's a good stash. I'm hating on your stash, if I'm being completely honest, because my shit's a Cantinflas mustache. It won't connect in the middle. If this isn't by choice, it's bald as fuck right here. Yeah, I always say that this mustache reminds me of my dad, because as hard as we try, we just won't connect.
that's fucking funny. I just got it right now, bro.
It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah.
Dude, fucking be well, and when the world starts back up again, I'll have you back on, but in person. Don't bring your cats though, because they will fight each other, and it's my cats are old, but you know what, my older one's in shape now, so she might win. I'm worried about myself even.
Orale, thank you, bro. I'll see you soon.
Got it, buddy. Take it easy, man.
Orale.
Yeah.